Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. Today, let's welcome Anne Tucker. Anne is an expert on decision-making, leadership, and personal transformation. She's helped many people, including executives and CEOs, overcome self-doubt and have confidence in their decision-making skills. She's developed this pretty cool and very unique test to identify an individual's soul type and illuminate the mental processes behind every decision. And Anne has used this technique to help some of the world's most influential business leaders. It's pretty cool stuff. And she's really figured out the mechanics of how we make decisions and therefore how we get stuck. And she knows how to help us move through the stuck places. I think we've all had the experience of getting stuck in decisions, of not being able to make one at all, or feeling regret like buyer's remorse when we've made a wrong one. I think being effective in life often comes down to how well we make decisions. And sadly, I think a lot of people don't really step into the power of their decision makings with consciousness. In my private practice as a psychic, I see people all the time who are letting their unconscious make their decisions for them with not very good results. Or they can't overcome their internal conflicts and find a decision that all the different parts of them can live with. And I'm super aware of this right now as I watch my own children, who are now adult children, enter into adulthood and start making their big life-altering decisions. So I have one of them that's trying to decide where to go to college, another one that's really looking into career and jobs. And just even like 5 minutes ago, I got a picture, text picture of an engagement ring that my middle son is trying to choose a decision to give his girlfriend. Oh my God, right? So those are some big decisions. And it makes me look back on my own decision-making skills, which you really think I could sum up my decision-making skills as, it seemed like a good idea at the time. I swear you could put that on my tombstone. And I've been reading Anne's book, which is called Undoubtedly Awesome, and it's about how we make decisions. And I realized I have this funny combination of using about 50% logic and 50% intuition and feeling in my decision making. But I think ultimately I end up going with my gut. And I'm so happy to speak with Anne today about her process so you guys can all figure out your decision making style. So welcome, Anne Tucker.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks. So tell us a little bit about your thing, how you came into this whole realm of helping people make decisions.
Sure. Well, it's one of those things where you look back in hindsight and it feels like it was all very planned out, but along the way, I didn't realize it. I started out as a negotiator for Microsoft, so I was in the corporate world, but very focused on decisions. And then when I left and went into consulting, that was my natural in, was to focus on decisions. And I realized that it's like you were saying before, is that decisions are, if you're going to focus on one behavior that's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck, decisions are it, because they're at the beginning of everything you do and they determine what comes next. So if you understand how you make decisions, it can impact every way in which you create in your life. And as I focused with my coaching clients, helping them to understand their own decision process, their own creativity, how do they think, how do they solve problems, I started to see these patterns emerging. And it was through the process of years of going through feedback and understanding, I started, those patterns became clearer and it evolved into this book.
Yeah, it's so cool. And really, before I read your book, it never occurred to me that there was a process, which of course there is, right?
Yeah.
And
it
also never occurred to me that maybe we all had different ways that we did it.
It's so true. And that's actually one of the funniest things, is that you know, is sort of like breathing, that if you never pay attention to it, you're not even aware that you're doing it. And the way that everybody makes decisions, and we're each different, but the way that you do it, the process that you use, you've been doing it since the moment that you were born. And I actually believe before that. I believe that the way that you make decisions is your soul type, which defines how you create, how you think, how you solve problems, how you're creative in the world, is consistent, I believe, from lifetime to lifetime. But it is something that, because it's the way that you breathe, it's just the way that you are, we're unaware of it. It's invisible to us. So it isn't until I'm spelling it out for you and showing you, all of a sudden you'll recognize and say, oh my gosh, that is me. Then you can see how you're different from other people. You'll recognize that not everybody looks at it the same way that you do. As a matter of fact, most people look at it really differently. And it helps us, it can help. I used it frequently to resolve conflict between people as they were trying to work together. You know, when you're both trying to create and solve a problem and you're coming at it from very different perspectives, it's soul type. It's that decision, how you make decisions, it's getting in the way. You both come at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, that I know. I've realized that I'm a quick decision maker. Like, I make decisions really quickly and I commit really quickly. Yeah. And I generally don't second guess my decisions. Mm-hmm. And, and I do it with a lot of instinct and intuition.
Yes.
And I took your soul, the soul test. So can you tell us a little bit? Cause I'm super intrigued about how you you brought in the concept of soul into this.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Thing.
So, you know, it really is the reason why I specifically define it as your soul type, because, but it is something that you are born with. The way that you create in the world, the way that you think and solve problems, that's a specific type of behavior I'm looking at, how you think, how you solve problems, how you're creative. And that all boils down to the action step, which is how you make decisions. And this is consistent from the moment that you're born. And if you can think about if you have children, or if you know children, if you remember, they come out solving problems in a particular way. I've got two that I have by birth. And from infancy, one of them was very cautious and would think carefully. It would watch others before they jumped in. And the other one would dive right in moment one and experiment along the way. Very different styles. And that was from the moment that they were born. It wasn't something that they modeled from me or from anyone else. It was just their natural way of being in the world. And so it is their soul type. And because it is that element of creativity, the way I like to think of it is that if you think of how this all came about, if you think of before there was anything, if you think about, you know, our creative, if you think of source energy, universe, whatever you want to, God, however you want to define it, being by itself before there was anything, floating around out in space, right? How does source go to understand itself? It has nothing to compare itself to. So let's just say hypothetically, let's just imagine that source divided itself into seven pieces in order to be able to have something to compare to. And it gave each of us one of those pieces, one piece of creative energy, right? We each have one of those pieces. Now, every problem that you approach is like a seven-sided figure, and each side has a different door in it. And that piece that we got is a key to open up that one door. So we each have one way into a problem, and it's our preferred way. And it's not the only way that we can solve problems, but it's the way that we're naturally good at, the way that we're inherently born to do. It's the specific skill or gift that we were given that helps us to contribute in the world.
Yeah. I love that. And I thought it was so interesting that too, that you talk about comparing is one of the decision-making processes, right? Like we have a really difficult time making decisions if we can't compare.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But it's if you think about how do we understand things in the world, like how do you make sense of something? And if you have something in isolation, and you have nothing to compare it to, it's really, really hard to know if it's bad or good. The whole way that we make sense of our world is through comparison. So that skill of being able to define, and there's two pieces to it. There's more or less, there's bigger or smaller, but then there's a second piece to it. So the first part is setting up the comparison. Then there's the second piece, which is that result good or bad, right? Is it good to be, you know, bigger? Is it good to be smaller? And that's an emotional choice. So there's two systems in our head that are working, one's in our head, one's in our heart, I guess you could say, that are working together. One is that ability to define, to give us that comparison, to say, okay, I'm going to compare these two elements and show you what's similar and what's different. And then the second thing, which is going to evaluate that difference and tell you which one feels good, which one feels better. So if it's a choice between mosquitoes, more mosquitoes is bad. We know that because we feel it. We feel, ooh, mosquitoes, bad. But if it's going to be peanut butter, you might say more peanut butter is better, right? And that's where the emotions come in, as you feel your way to what's best.
And how do you advise people? And I do want to get back to the soul types because it's so interesting, but what advice do you have for people that have a hard time or get stuck in a decision? What do they do then?
So it's going to depend, honestly, based on your soul type, because doubt affects us differently depending on our soul type. So for some people, certain soul types experience much more doubt on the front end of a decision. So based on what you're telling me about your style, that's not going to be you. Some people, that's where they would really, they feel that kind of, merry-go-round of being unable to decide, being unable to differentiate between their options on the front end of the process. Other people, other soul types, is going to be on the back end after they've made a choice. Then they'll start having more regret or second thoughts, or that decision process stays open and they continue to revisit it and they end up with that feeling of dissatisfaction at the end. So it depends on, and it's based on your soul type, where that's going to affect you.
I thought it was so fascinating that you talked about how part of the decision-making process is, like, after we make a decision, we sort of fall in love with our decisions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you give that example of somebody going through the process of buying a car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I noticed, it was so funny that you use that, because I totally noticed that when I bought my car. It's like I am in love with my car. And every time I see one like it, I'm like, look at how good looking that car is. and it's totally like what you said about confirming, like, we confirm our decisions, or we fall in love with our decisions after we make them. That's amazing.
Right. And it, here's what's amazing about it, is that you can look through your life and you can think of, everybody has choices that they've made that they love, where they feel really great about having made that choice, right? We all have things we can point to and say, oh my gosh, I was so smart for buying that car because I love that car and I feel great about the choice. And that makes me feel great about myself as a decision maker. And then we all have some decisions that's not the case, right? Where we look at it and we go, why did I choose that? You know, I'm sitting there looking at it and I'm feeling bad about it, wish I hadn't done it. And the real mystery is in why. Why is it that sometimes our decision process works great and we end up loving our choices and sometimes it doesn't? And that's the question that I'm answering in this book, is what is it? And a lot of us get really wrapped around the axle. We think it's because of the thing that we're choosing. We think that the thing we're choosing has some magical element that makes it the perfect thing. So when we don't choose the perfect thing, we think it's because we weren't smart enough or clever enough or we didn't spend the time. We can become really self-critical, thinking that we made a mistake because we weren't magical enough to pick the perfect thing, because the perfect thing is out there, right? That's
right.
Not true. The truth is that when you get down to you're choosing between just a couple remaining options, most of the time, any one of those has an equal chance of making you happy. And what makes the difference in the end as to whether it's going to be a good choice or not isn't the thing that you're choosing, it's actually how you choose it. And that's what's so surprising, is that the process that you're using to make your decision is going to determine whether or not you fall in love with your choice.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. So say more about that. Like, how does that work?
So here's how it works, is that once you are making your, say for example, you're going through lots of different options. If you allow too much doubt to come into your decision, think of it as like an energy leak, right? That we know that our thoughts are energy, that everything that we think we create. And when you have doubt in your decision process, it's like you have an energy leak and all of your energy is sort of going in different directions. Rather than fully committing to this one decision that you've made, you've got your energy going in a bunch of different directions, wondering, thinking about some other option that you might have chosen, or worrying if you picked the right one, or wishing you'd done something else. And all of those leaks prevents your energy from going in the direction of the thing that you chose. It takes momentum away from what you picked. Right? It essentially takes away from the potential of success of the thing that you've picked. Whereas on the flip side, if you follow your own personal decision process in a way that allows you to fully commit to your choice, and what I mean by fully commit, this is a big deal, is not just to decide, not just to choose, but you also have to take the two remaining steps, which are huge. You have to burn your bridges and you have to give up your alternatives. And a lot of people don't like doing that. Mm-hmm. But once you do that, it allows you to truly fall in love with your decision. You commit, you burn your bridges, you give up your alternatives, and it allows you to become fully invested in the choice. And when that happens, all of a sudden, all of your energy is going in that one direction. All parts of you are all in alignment going towards this one choice that you've made, and that momentum is what's going to make that choice succeed. It's what's going to make you feel great about it. So wow. It has to do with a little bit about what's happening in your head and what's happening in your heart at the same time.
That's so amazing. So it's really like you said, like, you could have three choices left and they're all good. They're all equal in the pros and cons list, but it's our capacity to commit to it, cut out all the alternatives and focus all of our energy on that choice that determines whether we're happy with it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And your ability to do that, to go through that process, is going to be dependent upon how much you adhere to your own personal decision process, the way that your soul wants to make decisions. So if you understand what your process is, what's really interesting is once you understand what your own process is, once I show it to you and you'll recognize it, and then I'll show you, okay, well, here's where you specifically are vulnerable to doubt. So when you feel doubt, this is where it's going to come in. And here's why. Then when you start doing it, all of a sudden you'll see it. You'll go, oh my gosh, I'm doing that thing again. And you'll know what the result is going to be. You'll know that it's going to make you feel bad. You'll know that it's going to make you end up in this cycle of doubt. So then you can stop that behavior and you can get back on track.
So how would you, you don't really know me that well, but how would you put me into those five decision-making soul types? Like, what do you think?
The seven. Well, I'm guessing that you're an optimizer. Am I right? Did you read the different soul descriptions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's seven of them. Yeah, I did. And I came up, optimizer came up big for me. And the other one that came up, interestingly, was coach, the coaching.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
and I know they're very different.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit about the optimizing one.
Sure. And what you just said is actually important, because as you're reading the book, it's important to know that each of us has one native soul type. It's the soul that we are, right? And that's going to be the one that resonates for you most strongly. But our path forward, our path for growing and for developing to become more flexible is to start to adapt and take on some of the traits of other soul types. So what will happen is most of the time as you're reading the book is there'll be one that resonates most strongly, but you will also have traits that belong to other soul types. So you'll say, and it's usually, you know, at least one or maybe two others. And if you're put into a job where you're required to behave in a way that's not totally native to you, you can learn and adapt and become the way that you need to in order to survive in that job. And you can develop those skills. But it doesn't take away from the fact that your native soul type is something different. And it's really important to know your native type, because the truth is that native soul type brings with it a very specific gift, a specific skill, and if you don't express that skill in your life, you will feel really unfulfilled. So it's important to know what it is and how to use it.
And you had a pretty cool little quiz in your book that someone got your book, they could take that little quiz and find out what their type is.
Yeah. It is literally because I did it as a flow chart, and because I'm looking at such a specific thing, because I narrowed this down specifically to decision making, using it as a flow chart allows me to get really specific, and you can find out your soul type in just three questions. So
yeah,
it's really, really quick. And as a matter of fact, if people want to do it, there is a free survey on my website where they can go on and they can actually answer the three questions online, and they'll get an abbreviated version of the information about their soul type, some information that's different from what's in the book.
That's super cool. So if it's true that I'm an optimizer, can you tell me a little bit about that type and how that's going to affect me, just as an example?
Yeah, absolutely. So what that would mean is that as an optimizer, the specific gift that you're bringing into the world is going to be around, and like I said, each of us is focused on solving a different aspect of the problem. And the goal, eventually, I believe, is to have us all work together, right? We're all bringing a different gift. The gift that you're bringing is going to be around the context of figuring out solutions. So it's going to be, you will be a true innovator. Any words that start with the letters RE, so redesign, reimagine, rethink, reorganize, remodel, anything where you're taking things that are existing and combining them in new, unexpected ways, coming up with solutions that are totally outside of the box. So what that would look like for you, as, and if that sounds like you so far, let me know.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay. So what that would look like for you in your decision process, and here's an interesting thing, is that for each of us, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, is that which one comes first? Is it the gift that you have that determines how you make decisions, or is it the process that you use to make decisions that enables your gift? And it's hard to say which one comes first because the two are very interdependent. So the way that you specifically make your choices allows you to have that ability to innovate. What you do is, rather than going through a whole decision process, that comparison part that happens on the beginning of decisions for most people, right? Well, they'll go through and they're weighing their options. Should I choose this one or that one? They have all these different features. You don't do that. What you do is you'll be thinking about the problem. You'll get a good understanding about the problem. And then all of a sudden, you'll have this flash of inspiration, right? We'll call it, this is your intuitive gift. You'll have this flash moment, download of information, and you'll have this brilliant idea. And you're probably highly visual, so you probably see the solution mm-hmm. in your mind. And it's so yep. real for you, you're probably living in that future state from that moment forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's super easy. It's like the decision is made in that moment.
Yes, exactly. It's just like that.
It's
and
not,
that's an optimizer.
It's not hard to do.
Yeah. But it's really easy for you, but it's impossible for other people. So that's the thing that it's really important to know. This is unique, what you're doing. It's unique to the optimizing soul.
And I do sometimes get regret. I do sometimes I am like, oh, did I really, what did I just do?
Right, like right. That, well, that and that's where the doubt creeps in. So it'll creep in after you have this, after you start, if you've chosen. So what's interesting about how you do it, so here's how it allows you to have that creativity, is that, so you'll get this flash of inspiration, and then you'll go out and you'll start looking for information, but you're not looking for all information like most people do. What you're looking for is just enough information to confirm that what you want to do is possible. And if there's any disconfirming information, anything that says it's going to fail or it's not going to work, you literally won't see it. You will think, oh, that doesn't apply to me, or I'm going to do it differently, or I'll solve for that. All you need to know is it possible? Can I do it? Has it ever worked before? Does it look like it can work? And if you get a yes, then you're off and running. And the fact that you don't spend a bunch of cycles in comparison, the fact that you don't spend that time going through and weighing things and in that comparative state, you are less susceptible to doubt on the front end of your decision process. And that allows you to see things through to being created, to being realized more easily.
So that's totally right. That's totally how I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what that means for you is that your doubt, because you don't go through that period in the beginning, is that sometimes you'll get to the end and you'll have chosen something, and then all of a sudden you'll realize there's some piece of information you didn't consider that maybe you should have, and that's where the second thoughts can creep in and the doubt can creep in. So there are, in the book, there's some specific strategies you can take to try to prevent that from happening.
I'm going to reread that. I'm definitely going to go over that part again. That's totally true for me. Awesome. So could you talk a little bit about how people can find you, find the book, find that questionnaire?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is the same name as the book. It's undoubtedlyawesome.com. So www.undoubtedlyawesome.com. And there's a link to the book there, and there's also a link to the free survey. And what that'll do is it'll just give you the three questions. Actually, for six of the soul type, there's three questions. For one of the soul types, there's actually only two questions, and you can get to your answer. And it will give you as much in-depth information as what I just gave you over the phone, but much, much more. It's amazing how much it unlocks. But what you get on the website is it'll give you a very brief synopsis of what it means about your soul type, and it'll give you some information about what kind of work in the world would be most fulfilling for you. So it's different from what's in the book, but it's still fun to learn. I also have on my website, there's a link to wisdomsoup.com, which is also my company, and it's an online social learning community for spirituality and personal growth.
Wow, that's great. Well, I feel like I made a really good decision by having you on my show today. I'm really pleased with that decision. I'm not having any doubt at all.
That's great.
And I just think your work is so so interesting, and I just am excited for our listeners today to explore your work, because I feel like it's important to bring decision making out of the unconscious and yes. into consciousness. If we want to create lives that are meaningful and amazing for us, we have to make conscious decisions. And it's just super cool that you came up with something that does that. So thank you so much for being with us today, Anne. I really had a good time with you. It was great.
Great. Thank you. My pleasure. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. And if you guys would like to reach me, you can totally find me at my website, lisacampion.com. I hope you drop by and visit me. And thank you so much for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing here on Power Radio, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.